today. Dave Jamieson, who was at the press conference today for Brock Sutherland, joins us now. Dave, did you learn anything from what Brock Sutherland had to say today?
No, not really. I didn't think there was anything, and I didn't expect much, Jay. I mean, you've been to more of those kind of things than you could probably count. Brock Sutherland said exactly what I thought he would say. It was a tough decision to make. I asked him pointedly about Jason Moss's behavior, whether that was ever an issue between the two of them, whether he'd ever addressed it. And he said, Brock Sutherland said that he didn't think that that was, he thought that Jason coached with passion. So listen, they made the decision to move on from Jason Moss. It's not unexpected at all. I did ask Jay if this is about marketing the team as much as it was about football, and he said it was strictly a football decision, that it was not tied to the ability or inability to sell tickets or sponsorship, for that matter, to the Eskimos. Strictly football.
Yeah, well, Dave, you worked in the selling of the sponsorship mm-hmm. thing. Do you honestly believe for a moment who the head coach is really going to change it that much?
You may have, and it's a great question, Jay. I mean, there will be people who, text shows like yours or mine and say, I'm not renewing if, individual X is back. Now, whether they mean it or not and they actually follow through, I'm skeptical of it. But if you hear voices in the community that you trust and they are your customers and they are saying, giving you a certain message, then the Eskimos certainly needed to listen. Brock Sutherland said they underachieved. And you know what? That may be the most truthful thing that you could say about this team. They just didn't win enough. They didn't beat good teams. And 8-10 is not going to cut it in a city that, frankly, demands more and should demand more of a team that's got a lot of resources, Jason. This is not, the Montreal Alouettes that are owned by really the entire Canadian Football League. These are the Edmonton Eskimos. They've got tons of money in the coffers. They've got the best facility in the league. There are no impediments to them being better. So somebody had to pay.
Rick Campbell's name has been out there, Dave, but I do know for sure that he's going to interview with BC First. And that's coming up later this week. Mm-hmm. And from what I wouldn't be surprised if Jason Moss, if Rick Campbell's the head coach there, if Moss is the offensive coordinator at all.
And I'm with you. I'm with you.
So that would leave, that's two guys who are head coaches that now are together. So, Paul Lapolis is an OC. You got Elizondo potentially. Is there any other name you see as somebody that they would look at as a head coaching candidate?
Well, look at and more than just an interview. I mean, you've nailed you've hit the names. I mean, Lapolis to me, because he has been a head coach and had some success in this league as a head coach. I would if I'm the Eskimos, take a long, hard look at what Lapo can do. I mean, then you're starting to get into the, Mark Killams of the world, who's been a great special teams guy in Calgary, Jay, but again, never been a head coach. And I think people, the Devone Claybrook's experience and experiment in BC, I think should give general managers pause. Yes, everyone needs a chance, but you better make sure if you're going to go out there and get someone who's never done the big job, had the big whistle, you better make sure you've done your due diligence, because I know in Claybrook's case, they didn't have a good enough staff around him, and he was limited, let's say, in his ability to be a head coach, and it cost them.
Dave Jamieson joins us. Yeah, 100%. I would agree with that. That was the mistake. You go with the rookie head coach, and then you surround him with a lot of other rookies at positions. And Ed Hervey admitted on our show that was the mistake he made. Is where you want to let your coach pick his staff, but obviously maybe only to a point. I would think. Now, Philip Lawley is the only guy under contract, so I would assume he'll stick as the DC, because you can't get rid of him and Moss, right? Just with the cap situation, it's not going to work. What about the other coaches? Like, I thought AJ Gass had a pretty good first year as a special teams coordinator. Yep. Do you think he comes back?
Well, I mean, nothing happens until they get a head coach. And does he take a look at that and say, look, I've got a guy who, not that moving his family here should matter to a new head coach, but a guy who knows the league. And again, come back to knows the league. Now, I agree with you. I think he had a pretty good first year. You've also got Jason Tucker, a name, but again, a new guy coming in. What's that going to mean to him? I think some of the staff will get retained just because you can't hire. I mean, there are only so many people, Jason, who can coach and coach well in the Canadian Football League. Whatever you think of it, it's the second biggest football league in the world outside of the NFL. So if you're going to work in this league, you better have real coaching chops. And there are only so many of those around. So I think you'll see some staff retained. I don't know who they're going to be. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they talk to Philip Lawley. I'm not saying they would hire him, but they obviously his work is excellent. I think he's very well regarded. Whether he got an interview or not, unlikely to be the head guy, but I think he's worthy of an interview.
Yeah, it would be an interesting one. I think it's tough to do both jobs, right?
Without question. If not impossible to do both and do them to the ability and to the degree you need to be capable of. And you and I have been around. I've worked with guys coming in to be first-time head coaches, and Richie Hall's case, great defensive coordinator, responsible for what the Bombers did in the Grey Cup, but was overwhelmed as a head coach. It's not for everybody. It's not the gig for everybody.
No, not at all. And I think you can do it maybe if you've been a head coach for a while and then you take on the OC or the DC role. But if it's your first head coaching gig and you're doing both, I think that can it's hard, not impossible, but it's difficult.
It's very hard.
Difficult to do. So did Sutherland talk at all about the cap crunch his team was in this year and how that might affect the team moving forward?
You know, he didn't. And only because maybe that's a question best left for you on when he's on with you later today, but it's just not something that we thought to go to. But it is it's a very important question to ask because as many changes they made going into this year, there were 27 new faces on this roster. I mean, Jay, there's going to be a turnover as there always is, but there could be some very important names who aren't back. And as you've alluded to on a few occasions, yes, some players had to take haircuts this year financially.
Yeah, and that to me is going to be an interesting one to see kind of how it plays out. I won't be surprised if you see one of those free agents who was signed last year getting released or traded in the summer just because in the offseason because they're going to have to find a way to get under the cap.
Yeah.
The Ottawa Redblacks situation and Toronto, Dave, what do you make of the Argos and what do you think happens with their coaching staff?
Well, at Grey Cup, there was a lot of talk about the Argos. Thankfully, more talk there in Calgary than there is in Toronto about the Argos. But anyhow, I think the overwhelming feeling is Corey Chamberlain gets another crack at it with a revamped staff. And their roster wasn't nearly good enough. I interviewed John Jenkins. He was on the national show on Saturday with us. He's now really the GM of the Argos Pinball. Clemens is the front, but John Jenkins is doing all the heavy lifting and all the talent procurement. And they just didn't have enough talent up and down that roster. And you could start at the quarterback position. They had lots of quarterbacks, none good enough to really move the needle. So, but I think Chamberlain returns. But it'll be a win or else kind of, you know, he's got to move that franchise forward in terms of wins. But it'll be, let's just say he's coaching from the edge. That's how I would characterize him in this coming year in Toronto.
J-Mo, thanks for this. It's going to be an interesting offseason for the Eskimos. And you've been around the league long enough, Dave. Like, I think they got to have their head coach announced before they go on Christmas break, right, by the 15th?
Oh, I agree. You don't want to let this one linger. And if people are out there thinking that Chris Jones is going to somehow spring free from the Cleveland Browns, don't count on that. Don't count on that, right? So I'm with you, Jason. You better hop on it before the candidates. It's musical chairs, and you don't want to be caught without a chair.
Oh, could you imagine Jones coming as a head coach under Sutherland? I can't see it happening, but that would be great entertainment. Jeez, might be the shortest GM coach in CFL history combination. So we'll see what happens.
You got it,
J-Mo. Have a good one.
Thanks, man.